بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Most respected elders and friends السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Today is the third session of the series of the life of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the past two series, we discussed the great virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and what a great, amazing personality Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. One very outstanding feature in the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that there was no fitna. During his khilafat and during his reign, everything was under control. We did the hadith last week. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, O Umar, if you are walking on one road and the shaitan is on that road, the shaitan will change his road. If that was the fear in shaitan, for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where would he cause fear and where would he cause mischief in the khilafat of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu? All the fitnas that were or that came into the khilafat of Islam came after the demise of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Ibn Book of Hadith, Ibn Majah Sharif, there is a hadith narrated by Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as Sahibu Sirri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahabi who knew the secrets of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell him many, many secrets which other Sahaba may not know. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Kunna julusan inda Umar. Once we were seated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, faqal, ayyukum yahfadhu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil fitna. Who among you have preserved a hadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding fitna? Qala Huzaifa, faqultu ana. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I am the one that preserved the hadith, know the hadiths that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding fitna. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, Innaka lajari. You are very brave to make such a claim that you know the hadiths about fitna. Anyway, kaifa. What is it? How is that hadith? So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, سَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, فِتْنَةُ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَبَاجَارِهِ تُكَفِّرُهَا الصَّلَاةُ وَالصِّيَامُ وَالصَّدَقَةُ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ A fitna of a person is in his family. Sometimes there's a problem between the husband and the wife. That's a fitna. Or sometimes there is a problem between the parents and the children. That's a fitna. Sometimes there is a problem between brothers and sisters. That's a fitna. Or sometimes there is a problem, there are disputes in the extended family. That's a fitna. Likewise, sometimes a person may have disputes with his neighbor. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, all these problems that a person goes through in his family with his neighbors, when a person performs salah, when a person fasts the month of Ramadan, when a person gives sadaqah and charity, then all these acts compensates for all those wrongs that a person have done in his family and in his neighborhood. Likewise, if a person does amr bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar, the act of it is so great that this compensates for the wrong that a person does. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after hearing this hadith from Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told to him, Laysa hadha urid. I'm not asking you about this hadith. إِنَّمَا أُرِيدَ الَّتِي تَمُوجُ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحَرِ I'm asking about that fitna, which will be so great, so big, it will be like the waves of a sea. How the waves of the sea come crashing down. I'm talking about that kind of fitna. So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, مَا لَكَ وَلَهَا Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what have you got to do with that fitna, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? إِنَّ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهَا بَابًا مُغْلَقًا Between you and such fitna, there's a locked door. Whilst you are alive, there's a locked door, fitna will never come to you whilst you are alive. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala no asked to Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala no, فَيُكْسَرُوا الْبَابُ أَوْ يُفْتَحُ That door that you are talking about, through which fitna will not come through, would that door be broken or would the door be opened? There's a difference between them two. If a door is locked, you can open it and you can enter. And one is that you don't have the key for that door, so you have to break the door down. So that door that you are talking about that is preventing the fitna from coming in, would the door be broken or would the door be opened? Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, bal yuksar, the door will be broken, the door will not be opened. So, qal, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, he said, zaq ajdar Allah yughlaq. Once the door is broken, the door through which fitna will come in, when the door is broken, then the door will never lock up again. So, the people that heard the hadith from Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they told to Huzaifa, أَكَانَ عُمَرْ يَعْلَمُ مَنِ الْبَابُ Did Huzaifa, did Umar knew who the door is? So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew very well who the door is. It is just like, كَمَا يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ دُونَ غَدٍ اللَّيْلَ Just as how morning comes and after morning night comes, you know with certainty night is going to come after day. Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew with absolute certainty who the door is, and he knew for the fact that he was the door that's referred to in the hadith. And the door, Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a door that would not be open. Look at how is the fitna going to come in the life, and how is Umar going to allow fitna to come in? The only way the fitna could have come in was to kill, to assassinate Umar ibn Khattab, to break the door, the personality of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, through which fitna could come in. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was always his dua. And the hadith, this dua is narrated in Bukhari Sharif. He used to make this dua, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik. وَاجْعَلْ مَوْتِي فِي بَلَدِ رَسُولِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Subhanallah. Dua of Umar ibn Khattab, when Allah gives somebody tawfiq to make dua, then Allah creates means for the dua to be accepted, and the tawfiq of dua is from Allah. The fact that Allah gave tawfiq to make dua means that Allah wants to give you that. So, Umar radiallahu ta'ala's dua was, Oh Allah, grant me shahada. Grant me martyrdom in your path. Whilst I'm serving you in your path, whilst I'm serving deen, whilst I'm serving Islam, at that time, give me shahada. And oh Allah, grant me my death in the Mubarak city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara. Amazing. Shahadat fi sabilik. You look at it, that it means you must go out in jihad, go out in the path of Allah. And where will jihad take place? In Madinatul Munawwara. Probably will be out of Madinatul Munawwara. And that too, he makes dua to get martyrdom, but he wants to pass away in Madinatul Munawwara. But Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accepted this dua of Umar ibn Khattab in an amazing, unique way. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed Hajj in the 23rd year after Hijrat, And as he was returning to Madinatul Munawwara, he makes dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allahumma kaburat sinni, wa dhu'ufat quwwati, wa antasharat ra'iyati, faqbizni ilayk. Oh Allah, I'm gone old now. My strength is weak. I don't have strength and energy. And the Islamic kingdom has spread far and wide. Before I fall into any further fitna, oh Allah, take me away towards you. Give death, give mouth to me. He made this dua to Almighty Allah. And prior to that, he was making dua, oh Allah, let me pass away while serving you. And oh Allah, give me mouth in Madinatul Munawwara. In Tariq al-Tabri, it's a book in which historical incidents are recorded. There's a narration from Miswar ibn Makhrama, who says, one day Umar radiallahu ta'ala was walking in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. He came across a person by the name of Abu Lu'lu'. He was the person that killed and assassinated Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala was walking in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara. Abu Lu'lu, he was a Christian. They were laborers that, or people that were doing labor working in Madinatul Munawwara. So he came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala and told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala to complain to him that I am the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Inna alayya kharajan kathira. I've got a lot of taxes to pay. Now, kharaj is a concept where a slave works for a master. The master tells him, you do work, you do labor, and every day you pay me an X amount of money. So Abu Lu'lu complained to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I have to pay a lot of taxes. My master Mughira ibn Shu'bah imposed on me a lot of taxes. So I want you to do something that will give me relief. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him that, what is your profession? What work you do? What are your means of income? So he told, I've got three means of income. Firstly, I'm a carpenter. Second, I'm a painter. Third, I'm a blacksmith. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, how much of kharaj are you paying every day? He said, 2 dirhams. Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, 3 means of income you've got, 3 skills you've got, and the 2 dirham that you are paying to your master, that is not much. You shouldn't be having difficulty in paying 2 dirham to your master. He kept quiet. Umar radiallahu ta'ala then told him, I heard that you are able to make a mill with wind, a windmill. You are able to manufacture, you are able to put it up. Would you make one for me? Umar radiallahu ta'ala offered him this. Now, because he was very angry, Umar radiallahu ta'ala did not facilitate the request to talk to Mughira ibn Shu'bah. He told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, I'll make such a windmill that the people in the east and the west will talk about. I will make a windmill, a unique windmill that the people in the east and the west will talk about. Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately mentioned, لَقَدْ تَوَعَّدِنِي الْعَبْدُ آنِفًا. This slave, he has threatened me just now. What he meant by that, he indicated towards plotting, killing, and assassinating Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And he referred to that being like a windmill where people in the east and the west are going to talk about. Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately understood the threat of this person. It was on the 26th of Zil Hajj. It was a Tuesday morning. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to perform Fajr Salah. And while performing Fajr Salah, it was his habit, he would turn towards the people, tell the people, straighten your sufuf. In fact, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, you should be so careful about this, he would have people appointed in the masjid to straighten the sufuf of the people. Thereafter, he commenced his salah. This person, Abu Lu'lu, came with a dagger which was sharpened on both sides. Somehow he made his way through the sufuf and he stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu right under the navel. Some of them said he stabbed three times, some of them said more than that. It was a very severe wound. Amirul Mu'mineen, whilst performing the Fajr Salah, he fell down. Even in that condition, while he was in that condition, he immediately indicated to a senior Sahabi, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, to take over the Musalla to continue with the Salah. Can you imagine? Somebody is so severely wounded, blood oozing out, but is worried about the validity of the Salat of the congregation. Never mind, I'm wounded. What about the Salat of the people? He indicated to Mughira ibn Shawbah, come forward, perform the Salah. This person that stabbed Umar ibn Khattab, Abu Lu'lu, now he started running away. And as he was running away, he wounded approximately 13 people. From the 13 people, 6 people further passed away. Finally, when people ran behind him, somebody immediately took out a big cap, you call it the burnus, and put it onto his head and trapped him and dropped him down. Abu Lulu knew what is going to be the consequences. He knew what he had done. He himself, he committed suicide, he killed his own self. Now people didn't know what was happening because the congregation was so big. And they noticed Umar radiallahu anhu stopped making qira when the Imam Sahib makes a mistake. So people from the back would correct the Imam by saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So people from the congregation that were behind, they didn't know what was happening. People that were in the front, they knew what was happening. But people behind didn't know. So people from behind started saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And then later on they realized when they saw the commotion what had happened and what had transpired. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was lifted, taken to his home. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very close to Umar ibn Khattab. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was concerned. Why would a person stab me? Why would a person wound me like this? Have I done something wrong? Have I done something wrong that I've led the people to do this to me? He didn't justify his act. He immediately told Abdullah ibn Abbas, could you please go around and check? Assess the situation of the people. Have I committed some sin? Have I committed some wrong that I've led somebody to do this, what they have done to me? Abdullah ibn Abbas went out. He scanned the situation. And he came back and he reported to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, what information you have? He said, everyone that I passed by, I saw everyone is crying. Everybody love you and you haven't done anything wrong. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, but who did this? He said, is it a Muslim? Is it a person that is a reciter of the kalima, la ilaha illallah, done this? Who have done this? So Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned it was Abu Lu'lu who was the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately praised Almighty Allah, glorified Allah, shukr that it wasn't a person that is a reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah that I've done to this to me. So that on the day of Qiyamah, I will not argue with a fellow Muslim for that oppression and persecution that is done towards me. That was the condition of Umar ibn Khattab. The wound was very, very bad, very, very severe. So severe, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala would drink milk, immediately the milk as it was white would come out from his body. Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw this, he knew that his time to leave this world is up. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew, he was concerned of three things. Now these are the great lessons that we should learn among the three things. First thing he was concerned about, I'm about to leave the world, I owe people money. He was a debtor, he owed people money. So he immediately made arrangements for that. And he called his son, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he told to Abdullah ibn Umar, undur ma alayya min ad-dayn fa ahsibhu. Count my debt. The money that I'm owing the people, count it. So Abdullah ibn Umar came back to Umar and told Umar, the debt upon you is 86,000 alfan, 86,000 dirhams. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave instruction. Now remember, while performing Fajr Salah in Madinatul Munawwara, somebody attempted his life while serving Deen and Islam. He didn't look at all that and said, if I have to pass away, inshallah Allah will forgive me. He owed people money. Being the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's now making arrangement. And he says to Abdullah ibn Umar, in wafa biha mala ala Umar, fa'addiha anni min amwalihim. If our family people got this money, collect it from them and pay it out. Wa illa fasal bani Adi ibn Ka'b. And if the money in the family is not sufficient to pay the debt out, then ask Adi ibn Ka'b to help and assist. فَإِنْ تَفِي أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَإِلَّا فَصَلْ قُرَيْشًا. And if the money from Adi ibn Ka'b is not sufficient, now ask help and assistance from the Quraysh, from our tribe, to pay the money out. وَلَا تَعْدُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمْ. Don't go anyone beyond that. So great lesson for us to learn. You can be in the path of Allah, you can be the greatest person you want to, but Shariat emphasizes fulfilling the hukuk of peoples, for people's monetary hukuk. Second thing Umar radiallahu ta'ala was concerned about, it was his wish and desire. He accepted Islam, joined Nabi Akareem s.a.w. Makkah al-Mukarramah, oppressed and persecuted in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He made hijrat to be with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived with Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, side by side in Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Battle of Ahzab, everything. And everywhere Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba says, we would hear Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. Ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. How often sahaba would hear Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I, Abu Bakr, Umar. Everywhere they were together. Now that he's about to pass away, it was his wish and desire to be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So he sent a message with Abdullah ibn Umar to go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and tell her that look, where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, your beloved father, is resting, that's your house. There's place for one person there. Could I have permission to be buried there? So, Abdullah ibn Umar goes to Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and makes this request. That Umar, my father, had made this request that should he pass away, he would want to be buried in your house next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, next to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Hadha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, I have reserved that place for me. I have reserved the place for me. But I would give preference to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala over myself. Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Umar came back. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was anxious. He was anxious. What is the response of Aisha? So he asked Abdullah ibn Umar, what answer do you have? Abdullah ibn Umar gave him the glad tiding. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, that's not enough. When I pass away, take my janazah there. And then tell to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala that Umar is asking permission, and Umar even told to Abdullah ibn Umar, don't say Amirul Mu'mineen, because I would have passed away and I'm not the Amirul Mu'mineen at that time. I'm a simple person. So at that time, ask Aisha, say that Umar seeks permission to enter. If she gives permission, then you allow him to go in there, otherwise not. Pass by, bury me in the Jannatul Baqi, in the general graveyard. Subhanallah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's plan is such that Allah wanted to show the Ummah that Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Bakr, they were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lifetime, and even after the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, all of them are still together. So this was for the entire Ummah, for the entire world to witness the closeness between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadha Abu Bakr, Hadha Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now a third issue was, Umar radiallahu ta'ala about to pass away. Who is going to be the Khalifa? Who is going to be his successor? So some people told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, why don't you appoint someone? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, instead of me appointing one person, he made a group of six people. And the name of the six Sahaba are mentioned here in the books of Hadith. He said, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. This is a group of six people. Let them make mashwara among themselves and among themselves who they appoint as a khalifa. That person will be my successor. And Allah made it such that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala withdrew from this, and he took the responsibility and he told all of them that if you all would allow me, I would take charge and I would appoint the successor. And with extensive consultation, finally, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, he shortlisted with Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. He appointed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and he made Hazrat Uthman, made the general public take bay'at on the hand of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala as the Khalifa of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Before concluding, there's one very thought-provoking incident of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He says, whilst Umar radiallahu ta'ala was in this condition, about to pass away, one youngster came to him. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ شَاب, youngster, shabab, youth. He told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, أَبْشِرْ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِبُشْرَ اللَّهِ, glad tidings to you, O Umar, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Glad tidings from the side of Allah. You have nothing to lose. فَقَدْ كَانَ لَكَ مِنْ صُحْبَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَقِدَمِ الْإِسْلَامِ مَا قَدْ عَمِلْتَ ثُمَّ اسْتُخْلِفْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ ثُمَّ شَهَادَ. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are so fortunate. Firstly, you are a Sahabi of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You got the companionship of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Second, you are the person that accepted Islam in the beginning stage of Islam with great effort and sacrifices. Third, you have been appointed as a Khalifa. And not only that, you maintain equity, fairness and justice among the people, which everybody know. And now finally, Shahada. What great virtue Allah Ta'ala has given you. But look at Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What an answer he has given. He said, Yabna Akhi, O my nephew, O my brother's son, Wadittu anna thalika kafaf, la alay wa la li. All that you are talking about, when I meet Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, my only wish and desire is everything is just fair and square. No benefit for me, but no burden on me, no guna on me on the day of Qiyamah. Now our condition is such, we read little two rakat of namaz and we think we already reached Mi'raj. In year Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no, whole life is sacrificed and he is becoming a shaheed. While performing salat in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the place of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he ruled so much that Islam spread far and wide. But now, so much of khawf in him, that if I meet Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, my only wish and desire is that, forget me getting any thawab, as long as there's no guna, no burden on me. What a great thing. Think, look at the thinking of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now, he's about to pass away, badly wounded, great amount of pain. فَلَمَّا أَدْبَرَ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا إِذَارُهُ يَمُسُّ الْأَرْضِ. When that youngster turned around, Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw his trousers is below his ankle. In that condition, Umar radiallahu ta'ala saw the person's trousers below the ankle. If we would probably see that in that condition, we'll just probably overlook it. Got more bigger, greater things to worry about. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew, he immediately told the people, Ruddu alayya al-ghulam, that youngster that spoke to me just now, bring that youngster back to me. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew, before leaving the world, he's giving this youngster an advice. Faqal yabna akhi, irfa' sawbak. Throw my brother's son, oh my nephew, see, your trousers is below your ankle. Not permissible to do that. Raise your pair of trousers above your ankle. Raise your trousers above your ankle. See how conscious Umar radiallahu ta'ala is about this. And then he says, فَإِنَّهُ أَنْقَى لِثَوْبِكَ وَأَتْقَى لِرَبِّكَ. This is more cleaner for your clothing, because if your trousers is flowing on the ground, it's going to make it dirty. And not only that, this is having more amount of taqwa for your Rabb. This is the correct and the right thing to do. So just look at how Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in the last moment of his life, wherever he saw something wrong, nahi anil munkar, he immediately corrected that. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who finally, on the 26th, he was wounded. The month of Zilhajj came to an end. And when a new Islamic calendar came in, the first of Muharram, it was the same Tuesday morning when he was performing the Fajr Salah at the age of 60. He was wounded on the Tuesday, and then it was 4 or 5 days later, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the age of 60, he has passed away. And this is brief biography of this very great personality, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We're speaking about these great illustrious personalities so that we have love for them. When we know their sacrifices, we know who they are, then only we'll have love for them. And that is why it is very, very important for us to educate ourselves, to understand who are these Sahaba. Why is it that Almighty Allah praises them so much? Why is it Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised them so much? There's some great value that they have in them, and they are our measure of iman. Aminu kama aman an-nas. Bring iman like how the people have brought iman. People here refers to as sahaba, and these are the people that we're supposed to be holding very close to ourselves, and especially Khulafa-i Rashideen, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali. So we make dua that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us that great amount of love, respect, muhabbat for all the sahaba, and in particular Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.